of you guys remember that? How many of you guys remember this game? Now, when I was a little guy growing up in the 80s and into the 90s, we had this thing called the Nintendo Entertainment System, the original NES. And we would play this game all the time. Now, what the current generation doesn't understand about the struggles of the 80s and 90s is that when you played this game, you would get as far as you could go, and then you would have to push pause. And then you'd turn the TV off and go to school. And then you go to school and come back, and you'd have to turn the TV back on and unpause the game so you could continue, or else you would just lose where you were in the game. You'd have to start all the way back over at level one again. Now, we make fun of this a little bit, but this is part of what we're starting this summer is called the New Testament Challenge. It's our summer series here at Bethel Community Church. And today we're going to talk a lot about this, the Word of God, why the Word of God, and specifically reading, believing, understanding the Word of God, why it is so important for us today. And if you're new to Bethel, you picked a great time to join us. Here at Bethel, we have a few things that we like to say, that your journey at Bethel begins at Starting Point. And Starting Point is a great place for you to meet people here at Bethel, as well as understand what we're called to do as a church, but also find out the fundamentals of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And we also say that your journey continues in community. Now, we have these things called community groups that have taken a break over the summer because we found out that in Clarksville, people like to go everywhere in Clarksville. People don't like to stay in good old Clarksville throughout the entire summer. And so we've actually got a way for every single one of you to be a part of our New Testament challenge over the course of the summer. No matter where you are, no matter where you're going, no matter where you travel, you can be a part of the New Testament challenge. And we'll keep you make you aware of all those different ways closer to the end. But you know, one of the reasons why we are paying such close attention to the Word of God and why we are laying down this challenge to the entire church is really something that Matthew Henry, he's a theologian, that said this. He said that God has made himself known to us in many ways, in creation and providence, but most clearly by his word. The judgments of his mouth are magnified even above those of his hand, and greater things are done by them. See, when you get the Word of God inside of you, the Word of God allows God to use us in amazing ways. It begins to change our heart. It begins the way we change, the way we see God and the way we see the world. It changed a guy named Jeremiah so much that he was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he said this in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. He said, "But if I say I will not mention his word," speaking of God's word, "or speak any more in his name, his word in me is like a fire in my heart, a shut up in my bones, and I grow weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." See, the word of God, the Bible says, is living and active. It is a word that is alive and will speak to you and communicate to you. And it is a word that will change your life. And we're going to talk about that today a little bit. Is that all right with you guys to say? Say yes. All right. See, there's a couple things we have to understand is that the more we know God's word, the more we know God. I'm going to say that again. The more we know God's word, the more we know, the more we understand, the more we understand the way God operates. See, reading the Bible helps us to understand how he is, who he is, and how he can relate to us as an individual. And we don't know, when we don't know or don't understand what God's word says, we can have a very improper view of God. How you picture God in your life can affect how you relate to him. But many of us, we might view God the way we view our earthly dad. For example, some of you guys remember Beaver Cleaver and the dad in the Beaver Cleaver show. He was like the iconic perfect dad who always solved the problems in 30 minutes. He always had the right answer. He always did things the right way. Well, I didn't grow up with a dad like that. Did anybody in here grow up with a dad like that? Then you are blessed beyond measure. But what happens is because of who dad is, he can have a great imprint, or who he was not. That's the way it was in my life. He can have a great imprint in how you see God in your life. We're going to do a little exercise just for a second to explain this a little bit. I'm going to ask all of you guys to help me out with this. I just want you guys to close your eyes just for a moment. If you can close your eyes, and I want you to do one thing. I want you to think about in your life, based on your experience, your background, what does God look like to you? For some of you, this might be easy, and for some of you, it might be hard. You may not know how to contextualize or how to comprehend this, but what does God look like to you in your mind? He's going to look different to all of us in our mind. Now, go ahead and open up your eyes. Now, for some of us, we may have imagined God as an angry God, pointing his finger at us for all the things that we've done wrong, for all the things we may have let him down. He may be angry at us is the way we may view him. For some of us, we may view God like Santa Claus. Don't you love Santa Claus? He gives you all kinds of good stuff, and, you know, he's the kind of the guy who just rains down blessings in your lap. Some of us see God like that. Some of us may see God as being very disappointed in us, like Furious Styles from Boys in the Hood. Maybe you have had a bar that you set in your life that you have not lived up to. Or when you read the Word of God, maybe you feel like you have let God down, and you may see God as being disappointed at you. And then for others, maybe we just see God as just a good time guy who wants to throw us up in the air and have lots of fun with us. See, your background and your life experience can all shape how you see God. But the only thing that can truly paint a true picture of him is by his word. Only his word can clearly articulate how he is and who he is. But there's a big problem with this in our culture and even in Clarksville. See, our good friends over at Lifeway, they did some research and they found this out, that only 19% of people personally read the Bible every day. Now, they didn't go outside of the church to do this research. They looked at Christians that go to church on a regular basis, and they asked them, how often do you read the Bible? Basically, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about us. Look at your other neighbor and say, they're talking about us. Now, think about this in this room, possibly. 80% of the people don't read the Bible on an everyday basis. Now, see, I fall in this category too sometimes. I get lazy sometimes. See, your pastor makes mistakes, and he doesn't always think about holy things. I'm not your libre, if you remember that. What that means is that there's a huge problem. It means that our life has so much influence coming from outside of the Word of God that it can begin to shape how we see life. Think about the influences that you see just going down Tiny Town Road. Think of the influences that you see in television, on your workplace, in your neighborhood, in magazines, and in movies. All of these things are trying to get your attention. They are trying to influence you to see the world in a certain way. But when we spend days, weeks, months, even years outside of the Word of God, influencing us, there we go. I knew it was going to come out. Think about how our life will look outside the Word of God. But there's reasons why people don't read the Word of God. Some people have said that it's just too hard. I just don't understand it. I read some of this stuff. I open the Bible up. And for some of it, we do this thing called Bible roulette. We go, that's a good one. First Kings. And they are eating and drinking before him. Thank you, Lord. I can do that. But sometimes we read things that make no sense in the Bible to us, and we just don't understand. Now, we're going to talk a lot about that a little bit later. How can we understand the Word of God? Another excuse that we hear oftentimes is that we're just undisciplined. That's code name for we're just lazy. Well, I'd rather push the snooze. How many people push the snooze button more than once when they wake up? More than twice when they wake up. Three times. Do I get three times four? Four? Five? Okay. Another reason that we don't read the Word of God, some people have said, is I don't have time. How many of you ever said this to yourself, or you've heard other people say that? I just don't have time. Life is so busy. Now think about this for a second. We call this the Word of God. The God who made the planets, the stars, the solar systems. He's the God who knows us even when we're in our mother's womb. He gave us this Word, but one of the ways that we respond is we say, I don't have time. We say, God, I'm too busy. I'm too busy with the kids. I'm too busy with this. I'm too busy with life. I'll catch you next week or next year, possibly, God. Another reason we say is it can make us uncomfortable when we read the Word of God. One of the reasons I didn't read, even before I was a believer, I read the Bible actually a whole entire year before I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't understand the Bible, but I read it. And I was afraid to go to the book of Revelations because I knew there were some super bad things that happened in the book of Revelations, and I didn't want to know what they were because I was not right with God. It made me uncomfortable to think about how the end of everything would be and me not be right with God. So for some of us, we might just be uncomfortable and we don't want to read it. And the last reason that we're going to spend a little bit of time on in a moment is I believe that a lot of us have a problem in trusting the Word of God. Oh, we might believe that for people in third world countries that cry out to God, He will listen to them. But here in Clarksville, He don't listen to me. He might believe and He might listen to Pastor Lance and his family because they're holy people. But the average person, he just won't listen to me. See, we're going to talk a lot about trusting God and how do we know that we can trust the Word of God. But you know, there's problems when you don't read God's Word. In 2 Kings, if you want to open up your Bible, we're going to take a look at several Bible passages today. You can use it on your phone or you can use an actual real book Bible. They still make those. Amazing, isn't it? There is a king in 2 Kings. Let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 22. There is a king that's really interesting. His name is Josiah. And his claim to fame, other than being in the Bible, is that he became king at 8 years old. Now, I would love to be king at 8 years old. I would get the world in all kinds of crazy mess. I would say, you don't like me? Off with your head. King, baby, kiss the rings. And the thing about this king that's also interesting is there were two kings before him, the generation before and the generation before that. There were these kings that the Bible says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the reason that they did evil is that they completely took God's word away from the kingdom. And we'll see this in just a second, but in verse 8 of 2 Kings, verse 22, the high priest told the secretary of the king, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. See, for two consecutive kings, they took the Bible out. They didn't pay attention to the Word of God. And as a result, the kingdom fell into idolatry. It fell into immorality because the Word of God was not read. The Word of God was not known. These two kings allowed the Word of God to be taken out. But then this young king begins to grow up, and he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 22, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, basically, when he heard the Old Testament, when he heard the law of Moses, when he heard the Word of God, the Bible says that he tore his robes. Now, he wasn't hot and he wanted to get cool off. He tore his robes because he realized the state of the kingdom was in such disarray, such immorality because the word of God had been absent, that he found out that they had been living so contrary to the word of God, he was moved with such passion, he tore his robes. In essence, he was saying, enough is enough. The word of God will be instituted back into this kingdom. It was kind of like, Wyatt Earp going into the OK Corral with a shotgun, shooting up the place and saying, enough is enough. See, some of us need to do this in our homes. See, there's been generations of some of us that have, maybe they've omitted the word of God, or maybe they didn't know it. And because of it, there's some things that have been going on in our family for generations. They call them generational curses. There's been dysfunction alive in our family. Somebody needs to begin to read the word of God and say, enough is enough. And quote the Old Testament and say, as for me and my family, I will serve the Lord. Somebody say amen to that. So here's the challenge, this New Testament challenge that we are laying down starting today, is to read a little bit of the Bible every single day. And in 2 months, you will have read the entire New Testament. Now, for a lot of you, this is going to be, you know, like, wow, how can I really read the New Testament in 2 months? Well, the first thing is you're not going to do it alone. You're going to do it with your church family. Now, the thing about King Josiah, which was amazing, is they proclaimed the word of God to everybody, and it began to change the nation of Israel from idolatry to praising God the way he should be praised. I believe when our church family begins to read the word of God together, he will transform your family, you as an individual. He'll change this church. And I believe if one church is fully committed to seeking only God and his word and believing and understanding it, I believe an entire city can be transformed. Can I get another amen? Can I get three? All right. I know. I feel like an auctioneer. See, the key to understanding the Bible is this. A good friend of mine, David Fisher, he talked about this to me this week. He said, you know, because a lot of people have a problem understanding the Bible. He said the key to understanding the Bible is simply understanding the gospel. If you understand the gospel, you can understand the Old Testament and you can understand the New Testament, because everything in the Old Testament is about the coming of the gospel, the good news. And everything in the New Testament is all about how the gospel changes everything. But the problem with the Bible is that most people look at the Bible as simply a book that you get at Books a Million, or you get off of Amazon, or you went to school and they told you to read this, or you were in high school and they gave you a summer reading list and they said, read this. See, the difference between the book that you might have been told to read and the Bible is this. People read regular books for information. We read this for transformation. This book's entire purpose is designed to change your life. So when you read it, you're intended to read it as if it's talking directly to you. As if it's talking directly to you. But here's the problem. When we actually do read the Bible, we find two problems that come across pretty fast in our reading. There's a difference between reading the Bible and believing the Bible. Anybody can read the Bible that's literate. It's a little bit harder to believe the Bible, isn't it? Somebody say amen. They're two different things, though. One of the hardest things, personally, I think you can do on this planet is believe the Word of God enough to trust it, to actually trust the Word of God. For some of us, like myself, it's hard to trust anything. It's hard to trust people. It's hard to take people's word for it. But when you get somebody in church and say, we want you to trust this holy word, it's not that easy. I'm going to use this chair as an example. Some people hate this chair as soon as they see it. And some people really think this is a cute and shabby chair. This is a leftover item from our yard sale a few weeks ago. About 12 people said they were going to buy this chair. Nobody came and bought it. So we're going to use this as an illustration. You can buy this chair today. For any donation into our mission fund, you can have this chair. It could be yours. Now, when I look at this chair, I immediately have a few questions that come in my mind. Can I trust that chair? Maybe I've never sat in it before. Will it support my weight, which I have a lot of it? When I sit down, is it going to be like the chairs that I know of? So I start thinking about all the examples of chairs that I've sat in before. Does that look like one of those? Well, it's got four legs, it's got a seat, it's got a back, it's got armrests. It looks like a chair. But there's also something else that I notice before I sit down that comes across in my mind. It's this thing called precedence. It's a legal term. I want you guys to say this with me. Precedence. Anybody ever heard that word before? A few of you? This is a very powerful word in the English language. It means based on previous examples, I can trust that I can sit down in this chair. Previous examples in my own life, but also I've seen other people sit in a chair like that. Matter of fact, this week I saw Pastor Lance sit in that chair. That gives me confidence that I can sit in this chair. This is not a booby trap chair. It shouldn't hold me up. All right. Now, it's a comfortable chair. But all of those questions pop into my mind before I sit down in it. When you read the Word of God, you've got questions too. Can I really believe what it says? The Bible says some pretty amazing things that most of us would consider to be outlandish or wild. All things are possible to him who believe. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Can I believe that? Well, here's the reason why. Can I see my books, baby? Can you hand me those? My lovely assistant. Now, because of this word called precedence in my faith in the Word of God, I can look at people who have come before me. I can look at previous examples of people who trusted in God. Now, these are a few of Pastor Lance's books that I've stolen for this example. These are biographies. These are the life stories of people that believed in God's Word so much so that it transformed not only their life, but the life of those around them. This is a man named William Tyndale. This is a very important man for you to know. The work of this man helped to transform the world as you know it. He translated the Bible into English. This word that we can hold in the palm of our hand or on your cell phone, the work that was done was attributed to this man and God using this man. He believed the Word of God so much, he died doing that work because he believed the Word of God was so important and so valuable. There's a guy named George Mueller. Some of you have never heard of this guy. Because of his work, his faith and trust in God to provide, he cared for over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. Now, let's say that together, 10,000 orphans. See, the reality is most people in this room won't care for one. Because he had faith in God to provide, based on the Word of God, he cared for 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. Here's a guy named Hudson Taylor. Pastor Lance and his wife, they named their youngest son after this guy. He was a missionary who opened up the door for Chinese missionaries. Tens of thousands of missionaries flooded into China to preach the Word of God and become believers through the work of this man. Matter of fact, this Word of God is still illegal in China. Did you know that possessing this, you could go to jail in communist China? Was it Sochi where they had the Winter Olympics a little? No, that was in, they had the Olympics somewhere in China not too long, Beijing. Believing athletes were not allowed to bring Bibles because it was illegal, but because of the work of this man, there are millions in the underground church in China because somebody believed God's word because they had read it. Somebody say amen to that. There's a woman named Florence Nightingale. She's known as the founder of modern medicine. Whoa. Say that again. She's the founder of modern medicine. She was a woman who wasn't very religious, and her story goes like this. She heard God tell her he wanted her for service, and she began to search God's word and believe God's word. And because of her, nursing looks like it does today because somebody believed the word of God. A guy named John Wesley founded an entire movement called the Methodist Church. A guy named Frederick Douglass, a former slave, abolitionist, statesman, believed God's word. All of these people that we're talking about, their world was hinged on the word of God. And because of it, they did amazing things. Eric Liddell, an Olympian, a missionary. His life was based off of the word of God. We talked a little bit earlier about this idea of a legacy. You can leave a legacy simply by reading and knowing and understanding the word of God. I use this word precedence not just when people that have lived that I never met, but also in my own home. Some of you guys know my mom passed away 6 years ago from breast cancer. And one of the things that she left us as part of her legacy is her stack of journals. For almost a decade, she would journal almost every day. And during a certain time of her life, when her husband, my stepdad, died after they were married for 2 years, she journaled her experience through death and grief and sorrow. Sometimes when I get sad or sometimes when I don't know what God's doing, I will read through my mom's journals. And I will read how she stood on the word of God, how she believed in God's word, and how she was so tormented with sorrow, but yet still God had a plan. She would write down scripture, and she would write down prayers based on the scripture. And when I read that, that gives me precedence that if my mom could believe in God through the worst thing that she could ever go through, I can trust in the same God's word that I have today. And I'm telling you today that whatever you're going through, there is precedence that says that people that trusted in this word, God did not let them down. God did not forsake them. That's a big word. Give you an example of what forsaking is. Imagine this is a baby, sweet baby. Imagine going to the Walmart, dropping the baby off and walking away. That is forsaking. God does not do that to you. He doesn't leave you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous, those trusting in Christ. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed or their children begging for bread. God's word says he will take care of you. Somebody say amen. You can leave a legacy as well. Read the Bible. This New Testament challenge, you don't have to do it just for you. Do it for your family. One of the things that my family started doing a few weeks ago is we started reading through the Gospel of Matthew, one chapter every night. And we're doing that for a reason. We're trying to create a habit of reading God's word in their life. We're trying to create a ritual, if you will. It's kind of like back in the day when I didn't know Christ, I used to smoke cigarettes, not weed. Every now and then, only like a dozen times. But I would smoke cigarettes. And anybody who ever known anybody who smoked cigarettes, all cigarette smokers have this ritual that they'll do before they light up a cigarette. They'll buy a pack and they'll do this. Who knows what that's called? See, y'all just told yourselves off. Power to the people. And it's almost without thinking about it. It's like second nature. When a smoker is about to light up, they can be in the middle of a conversation. They could be drinking. They could be doing this, that, watching a game. They're not even thinking about it. It's just so natural. That's the way reading God's word should be for us. Reading God's word should be so natural, so part of our life that we shouldn't really have to make an extra effort just to do it. See, some of us will wake up, I guess I'll read God's word, dum-de-dum, stupid word. Don't call God's word stupid, by the way. But it should be a joy, and it should be a natural part of our life. So the first thing was that reading the word of God and believing the word of God are two different things. But you have to trust God's word. The way we can trust is through our big bird word of the day, precedence. We have to have faith in Christ to believe the word, but also through precedence. And the second thing is that reading the Bible and understanding the Bible are also two different things. Have you ever read the Bible and said, what the heck are they talking about right there? I have no idea what this means. Well, you're not alone. You're actually in good company. There's a guy in the book of Acts, chapter 8. He was a lot of the same way. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. Hope you don't become an Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, it says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the men reading Isaiah the prophet. Do not understand, or do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. He said, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and he sat with him. That was a problem I had. The year before I gave my life to Christ, I read the Bible cover to cover. I took notes, I thought about it, but I had nobody to explain what in the world I was reading. It's just like this guy. He's reading the Bible, and you would think reading the Bible alone should be enough, but if you don't understand what you're reading, it won't produce transformation in your life. But it takes a couple of things. It takes reading the Bible, believing the Bible, and understanding the Bible. And God will begin to produce change in your life. Your life will begin to be amazing as you see the world through the lens of the Word of God. And this is what happens as he began to understand the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, drop down to verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Now, here's the difference. He was reading the Bible for himself. There was no life change. As soon as the Bible was explained to him, we see the brother wanting to get water baptized. Now, water baptism is an outward expression of what Jesus Christ has done in your heart internally. So that means after he understood the Bible, his life was changed forever. And it was all because he found this thing called a Christian community. See, God caused us to walk together in community. Any of us can go home and read the Bible, but sometimes we need a community of believers to understand the Bible. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have community groups. That's why we come together in church. That's also why this summer we're going to give you an opportunity to read through the Bible together as a community. We'll tell you about that in a minute. See, the Bible is no ordinary book. Like I said, in the Bible, in the pages of the New Testament, you will find people that have struggles just like you. They have hurts just like you. Have lust and passion just like you. There are people in the pages of the Bible that have experienced rejection, isolation, depression. There are people that suffered disease. They've experienced loss and they have experienced grief. And when you read the Bible, you will find yourself in the pages of the Bible. Somebody say amen to that. So there's a couple things as a church that we're going to give you to help you through this challenge. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to give you the Bible. Now, most of you guys have either an Apple or some sort of godforsaken Droid phone. That was a joke. Don't look mad at me. But either way, you can download the Bible app. I've had this on my phone for years. This app is awesome. You can actually download it now if you want to. You can actually read the Bible in almost any translation, and it will even read to you if you don't want to read it. So exactly. One of the issues I see with a lot of men is they say, I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. I got a family. I got this. I got bills, blah, blah, blah. I said, do you go to work every day? They said, yeah. Well, play the Bible while you drive to work. Most people have a good 10, 15-minute plus commute to get from door to door from their house to their job. You can listen to the Word of God and get the Bible in you. It's not like a worse thing to listen to the Bible. The Bible actually says, I lost the verse. Hearing, what is it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A lot of times when I read the Bible, I read it out loud, because when I hear it from me, I'm an auditory learner. I memorize things a lot more when I hear them. The other thing that we're going to give you is we're going to give you an actual Bible if you need it. Now, even in Clarksville, there are people that don't have a Bible. We want to give you one today. If you need a Bible outside at our Connection Point lobby, you just get one. They will give you a free Bible. If you need one, your family member needs one, just grab one and take it with you. It is a blessing to have God's holy word. We said around the world there are places you can't possess this legally. There are people that died so that you can have it. You should cherish this word and thank God that we can have this word and understand it for ourselves. Somebody say amen to that. And the second thing we want to give you, not just the Bible, but we have created a New Testament Challenge Facebook page just for you. This is a place where we can continue in our community of Bethel, no matter where you are this summer. If you're on vacation, you slept in, you're going somewhere else, you can still be a part of this challenge. You can share your thoughts, your comments. You can share your questions. If you're like this brother from Ethiopia and he didn't know what the Word of God meant as he read it, you can post a question and you will have your church family be a part of it. The way you find this, just simply go, and you can take your phones out right now and do this. Go to our Facebook page for Bethel Community Church. The post at the top is your link to our New Testament Challenge page. And you will begin to see all the questions, the comments, people making fun of us, whatever it is. You will see it on this page. Also, you can use the hashtag NTC, which is New Testament Challenge, NTCBCC, as you begin to post. And we're going to do this for the next couple of months, so it should be great. And now, as I'm about to close, I also realize this. Some of you may feel that you are not right with God, so how can you take this challenge? Me and God are not on the best terms, so how can I begin to read His Bible and Him actually talk to me through the Word and change my life? I just want to tell you one thing. You don't have to clean yourself up to read God's Word. You don't have to clean yourself up for God's Word to be just as powerful as it is for anybody else. The only key is to pick it up and start to read it wherever you are in your relationship with God. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Start to read this. And we've given you a simple plan. All of you should have received one of these when you walked through the door. This is your reading plan. It's as simple as this. Tomorrow, June the 6th, read Matthew chapters 1 and 2, two chapters of Matthew, and three chapters of the book of Acts. That whole thing will take you about 20 minutes. Now, here's the thing I also know about human nature, and I know myself. Some of us are going to be so busy one day, we're going to say, I didn't read that reading plan. Oh, shucks, by golly. They don't talk like that anymore, do they, Pastor Wayne? Been watching too much Leave It to Beaver. Here's what we do in that situation. You simply wake up the next day and you start on whatever day it is. Don't feel obligated. Well, I can never catch up. That's what a lot of people will think. Well, I missed 2 days. You start where you are. And the Word of God doesn't have to go all the way back to the beginning of the book for it to be in operation in your life. As soon as you read the Word of God, He's going to start changing the way you see the world. All those influences that the world will give you, the Word of God will give you proper biblical worldview. And it will shape the way you see your neighbor. It will shape the way you see Jesus. It will shape the way you see your spouse and your family. Just want to pray for you as we close today. Father, thank you so much for your Word of God, for the Word of God that's been around for thousands of years. I thank you, God, that through the generations, you have passed stewardship of this Word from one generation to the next generation. And Father, I thank you that stewardship of this Word has now fallen into our laps. I pray we would be good stewards of it. I pray that we would develop a heart to read this Word. And as we begin to read it, God, we would believe the Word of God. We would begin to understand the Word of God, and we would be transformed by the Word of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give Pastor Richard a big hand clap. Great job, bud. You know, I've never heard like what Pastor Richard did compare cigarette smoking to reading the Bible. That was amazing. But we would do. We want all of us this summer to take this challenge. Listen, let's this 2 months. This reading schedule is for the month of June, and then we'll give you one in July. Let's take this challenge. Let's discipline ourselves. Let's put the Word of God above everything else in our life.